This is God's word to me. It is my daily bread for spiritual strength. It is my guarantee to always be a winner. It is my strength to overcome all obstacles and challenges. It is the last word on my health, my prosperity, my financial success, my destiny. I now hide it in my heart. Praise the Lord. Say a good amen to that. Okay, let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. This is the third actual message on the key teachings of Jesus. And I found that Ephesians just gives me such a wonderful foundation to be able to do that, to give you some of the key teachings of Jesus. But we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. And today's message is called the whole armor. Say the whole armor. Turn to your neighbor says, and look at them, the whole armor. Okay. Ready? Let's read together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Continue. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day and have done all to stand. The word is withstand. It's important that we understand that this is an alert from God. This passage is an alert from God to you. God loved you so much that he wanted you to be aware that you are in a war. Whether you know it or not, you are in a war. By the way, you didn't declare the war, but the war was declared against you. Even if you don't want to go to war, once a nation declares war against you, you better get ready to go to war. Because otherwise, they're just going to ambush you. You know, just because you don't believe there's a war, and the bombs are coming over your head and are hitting your country, and the bullets are flying over the place, don't mean there isn't a war. As a matter of fact, the war is there just that you're just, obviously, you're retarded because you don't realize that these bombs are coming to kill you. You don't realize that all these soldiers running on your territory with these guns are coming to kill you, and you're still not believing there's a war. And you know they're Christians just like that. They don't realize that the devil has, his intention is to kill. If he can't kill for you, he's going to steal from you. And if he can't steal, he's going to what? Destroy something that you have. And so in this war, Satan has demons. He has demons organized to accomplish special assignments. For example, it says host of wickedness. These are demons whose whole goal is to bring people into mysticism. This is the same thing that he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden when he told her, listen, you don't have to do what God says. I mean, he's just telling you that, but he you're not really going to die. And he knows that if you disobey him, you're going to become just like him. Mysticism is the teaching that you can kind of reach God any way you like. You can use your own philosophy. You know, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling yourself together. You can miss church as much as you can. And as far as you're concerned, you're still going to see God. These are people in the scripture where God says, you know, bring your tithes and your offerings to the storehouse, that they may be, say, I don't believe in that. There are people who, you know, who don't take time to pray on a daily basis because prayer doesn't require that you be kneeling anywhere. All you got to do is communicate with God. But Jesus says in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. People think that this is just them. No, it's a spirit behind your thinking that keeps you thinking that you don't have to obey God, but everything is going to be all right. Let me give you a scripture in Matthew chapter 15. Don't turn to it. But it's in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And you know what it says? In vain they do worship me. I want you to know when people are into mysticism, no matter what they do, their worship is in vain. Oh, listen, these are people who are in church, by the way. These are not people who are outside of church. They're just caught up in this religion that makes them think that they can do things any way they want to. So that's one set of demons that have been set out there. And the reason why Jesus says, he says, be vigilant. He says, and be sober in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, because your adversary, the devil, guess who your adversary is? Jesus even says it. Your adversary, the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking what? whom he may devour. And so the reason why Jesus says be vigilant and watchful, because he doesn't want you to be caught off guard. He wants you to know that there's a devil that's looking to hurt you. He's looking to bring sickness on your body. He's looking to make sure that your children, you know, get into all kinds of mischief. He's looking to bring depression upon you. He's looking to find ways to stress you out. He's looking to bring drama in the relationship with your husband or in your relationship with your children. There's drama on the job. Everywhere you go, there's drama. And you kind of think this is just happening. No, there's a demon spirit that's assigned to you. By the way, that demon spirit is called powers. Those are personal demons that have been assigned to us to keep us down, to depress us, to keep us from moving on. In other words, when these demons come, their whole objective is to bring you into some form of bondage. And so, you know, sometimes have you ever found yourself, even as a Christian, where you just can't pray? And you kind of think it's just circumstances. No, there's a demon spirit that's been assigned to keep you from communicating to God. It's not just you, because in your heart you love God, but that demon spirit is there to make sure that he keeps you in bondage. The reason why some of us are sick and are still sick is because it's not just because the medication hasn't worked, it's because the demon power that's holding you down has you in that situation. And until the Lord sets you free, no matter what kind of medication you get, I don't care if you get a second or third opinion from a doctor, you're going to be under the curse of that sickness. But that's what the Bible, Jesus says, but I've come, he says, by you, by my stripes. Listen, by my stripes, you can walk away from that sickness. By my stripes, you can be delivered. That sickness can be gone today. There was a woman that I told you last week. For 18 years, she had this sickness that had her bending over. She couldn't stand. And the Bible says that one day with Jesus, one moment with Jesus, she was healed after 18 years. I want you to know that if you're in this place here, whatever has you in bondage, whatever has you down, you can walk away from this service set free by the Spirit of God. Because in whom the Son sets free, guess what? He's free indeed. Come on and give God some praise for that. Principalities are territorial demons. These are demons who are over territories. They're over certain cities. They're over certain countries. They're over certain neighborhoods. You know, there's certain neighborhoods that you go to that those demon spirits have power over that neighborhood, and that's why people in that neighborhood, they never get out of what they're into. Because it's not just because they don't want to, it's because there's a demon spirit assigned. That's the reason why when I took you to the book of Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel had prayed to the Lord that Israel would be set free from the captivity of the Persian Empire. This empire came, of course, and took them captive. And so he was saying, God, set Israel free. We've been captive for too long. And the Bible says that an angel came to him 21 days later and says, you know what, Daniel? You know, when you've made that prayer the first day you made it, God answered your prayer. But this principality of Persia, this demon spirit, would not let me bring the answer to you. And so for 21 days, I was stuck there, and I had to call for backup. And God sent Michael, his chief angel, to come and destroy the prince of Persia. And that's how I was able to get through. The point I'm making to you is that these principalities are real. These principalities in your neighborhood are real. And people are trying to get out of their poverty. They're trying to get out of that mentality that keeps them down. But they can't do it because it's not just them. It's not just the people in the society. It's a demon spirit that's holding them hostage. You see, and until you know who you're fighting, see, sometimes we end up fighting our children, and we end up fighting, you know, the biggest fight we have is with our children or with our boss. The reason why the boss hasn't raised your pay is because it's a demon spirit saying you're not going to get out of poverty. And therefore, what you got to do is not fight so much with the boss, but get before the presence of God. Begin to fast and pray. And the Bible says that when you fast and you pray and you seek God, the Bible says God will bring those strongholds down. Those yokes will be broken. He will lift the oppression of his people, and he will let the oppressed go free. Come on and give God some praise. This is how you battle. And so we need to know that these demons are there. There are people who are here who for 10 years, you know, are in the same situation. You know, you're still at the same salary, even though you've begged for increases. And maybe they've given you 10 increases over it that amount to $100 for 10 years. And you wonder why you're still broken, poor, and why you're still struggling. And so, you know, and somehow you kind of think, well, you know, it's just the way the system is. But you need to understand that 10 years later, you're still at the same spot. There's a demon spirit who has been sent to you, a personal demon, to keep you on a setback trail, to keep you always defeated. You may have a restaurant that you've been running for 10 years. And after 10 years, all people are saying about your food is that, man, that food is great. They rave and admire your food. They say, man, but in the meanwhile, your business is no further than it was 10 years ago. Although people think your food is great, they admire it. Say admire. There are people who are in the music industry, and 10 years later, you know, they've written some great songs. They put out some great music, and all people say, man, it's dope. This thing, I mean, you know, this joint is good. They get great admirations. People just admire what they're doing. But the problem is they're still where they are 10 years ago. They have not moved. And somehow, you know, it kind of seems just coincidental. And then there are people who are in the fashion business, you know, who produce like clothing garments and they put out these wonderful things. And people say, hey, man, oh, I love those pieces. This is just beautiful. And they admire everything they put out, but 10 years later, you're still 10 years back. And I want you to know that it might seem like if it's just a coincidental thing and so on, but no, listen to me. First of all, let me say this to you. Admiration is a nice thing, but admiration does not grow your business. Admiration is a nice thing, but it does not give you profits. And you can't run a business on admiration. Listen, people can say all kind of nice things about you, but the one thing you want to do when you have a business is make sure that money is coming into the business. You know, the interesting thing about David when he was asked to fight Goliath, we talk about the story and we amplify how David was so bold, you know, and he was ready to do this, and he took on, you know, all the shields, then he took it off and says, I'm going to fight him just like this. And we talk about all the things that David did that were kind of important. But do you know that David did one thing that most people don't talk about? You know what David said to Saul before he went to fight the giant? He says, you know, I've heard all this thing about, you know, me being a little boy and I'm bold and I'm great and all that. I said, but let me ask you a question. What's going to be done to the man who defeats this giant? You know what he was saying? How much are you going to pay me to get this done? Because you know that people who want you to do everything for free... In other words, they don't want to pay you for nothing. Have you met people like that? Don't look at anybody, please. See, but I want you to know that the Bible says if a man works for something, he should get paid for doing that work. You see, and so we need to understand that God wants us to profit. The purpose of working and building a business is so you can profit. There's a scripture in Isaiah 48 and verse 17 that says this. Listen to what God says. Thus says the Lord your God, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to advance. If you start a business next year this time, that business will be twice as big as it was a year ago. And if you don't think that way, it's not going to happen. Because if you don't think your business is going to grow, guess what? It's not going to grow. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so, but let me just hasten a little bit to this scripture. I want you to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 again. But I want you to know, to keep this in mind, that when you're sick, it's not the cancer that has you. It's not the kidneys that's your real problem. It's not the diabetes that's the problem. It's the demon spirit behind that thing that has you captive. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. You know, for all these years, she had doctors. She went to doctors for all these years. And no matter what she did, she could not be healed. But the moment that she met Jesus, the one moment that she met him and she touched the hem of his garments, she was healed forever. I want you to know that the problem is not the sickness. It's the demon spirit behind that disease. And so you have to fight Every morning you get up, fight against that spirit. And God has given you the armor by which you need to fight. You know, some of us are wondering, you know, why our business is not growing. Maybe it's because of the economy. Maybe we had a bad break. It's not a bad break. There's a demon spirit behind your failure. There's a demon spirit behind the fact that your business is not growing. There are people who are unemployed sitting in this room thinking, well, it's because of the high unemployment index, why you don't have a job. And it's because of the fact that the economy is bad. Listen to me. The scripture says this: I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous down or forsaken, because God is our provider. I want you to know God is greater than the economy. God is greater than the index that's not right. This is what he says about himself: I will supply all your needs. And as a matter of fact, if you go to the book of Psalms, it says this, that when God decides to bless you, he says, you shall prosper in every season. It doesn't matter whether the season is a season that you shouldn't prosper. He says, you're going to prosper in every season. In other words, your blessings are not going to be seasonal. God is going to bless you in spite and despite. And so this morning, I need you to understand that we have to start to fight the good fight of faith. Don't stay there and be broke forever. Don't stay there and not be able to pay your bills. Begin to fight in the spirit and bring the enemy down. God has given you the power so that no weapon that is formed against you can actually prosper. I don't care if it's a sick demon, he won't be able to prosper. I don't care if it's a financial demon, he won't be able to prosper. I don't care if it's a depression demon, he won't be able to prosper. Some of you are stressed out right now, but I want you to know that stressed out demon will not prosper against you, because you have the Lord on your side. And if the Lord is for me, come on now, then who can be against me? Come on and give God some praise for that. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Look at verse 11, and we're going to read verse 11 and verse 13. It says there, in fact, let's read it together. Ready? It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's read that again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, let's go to verse 13. You got it? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Say withstand. Say withstand. In the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, God is instructing us that in order that there is something that he's given to us, He says it repeatedly. He has given us an armor. It's called the armor of God. Say the armor of God. And he's instructing us that for us to put every piece of the armor so that we could overcome the devil's attacks. Listen to me carefully. He says, put on the whole armor of God, so that you can defeat the invisible powers of hell behind the scene. Because remember, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Even though your boss is acting up with you, it's not the boss that's the problem. It's the demon behind the boss. Even though your children are acting up, things are just not going right, it's not the children that your battle is with. Your children is with the demon behind those children. The battle is not with the economy. The battle is, your unemployment is not the economy. The economy is not the problem. The problem is the demons behind that. You see, the economy could even get better and you still are unemployed. Because when a demon holds you, he's no respecter of seasons. Demons are no respecter of persons. When the devil wants to attack you, he ain't waiting for a particular time or season. He's going to attack you whenever he can. He wants to bring you down as soon as he possibly can. And that's the reason why you should have no seasons for prayer. You shouldn't have a season for prayer. Well, I'm going to start. The Bible says we ought to seek the Lord all the time. Every day you get up, you need to talk to the Lord about your situations. Remember that God is the one who has to answer the prayers. He says, you have not because you don't ask me nothing. You know, there are people who are looking for miracles and signs and wonders, and they haven't talked to the Lord in weeks. Mysticism, host of wickedness. Those are the demons that keep you like that. In order to withstand in the evil day, and get, you know what, when the evil day is? Right now. If you don't know you're in the evil day, then somehow or another you're not here. I don't know where you're at, but you're not here. This is the evil day. Jesus says, but you got to put on how much of the armor? Here is mysticism. Here is those hosts of wicked, those rulers of the wickedness in heavenly places. What they try to tell you, nah, you don't got to put on the whole armor. Just put on this part of the armor. Ah, you don't have to do all this. And in the meanwhile, Satan is beating you like a fool up and down. You can't move forward. You can't move back. You can't do anything. Because, listen to me, the only way that you overcome the devil is by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. In other words, you got to have a testimony that God has delivered you. Every time the devil hears you talk about how good God is, God begins to work out another situation for you. I'm trying to tell you. So we have a weapon. And the Bible says here that in the Greek, the word withstand is an interesting word. In other words, when you put on the whole armor of God, you're going to be able to withstand the devil. Say withstand. The Greek word for withstand, in the Greek, it says anthestemi, which is, and if I just give you that word, anthestemi, you get another word in the English language that says antihistamine. And antihistamine is something that is used to fight histamine. A histamine is something that usually causes an allergic reaction. And so when histamine is happening, you're getting, you know, you have all these allergic reactions, but you don't know what to do. And so the doctor recommends to you an antihistamine to block the allergic reaction from happening. So when you put on the whole armor of God, when you are going to be able to block that what the devil is trying to do. That's what the Bible says. You can withstand the wiles of the devil. The word wiles there means the tricks of the enemy. It means the cunning craftiness of the enemy. The devil never just comes clean. The devil is not up front. He comes through different ways. The Bible calls him the father of lies. He comes to destroy you. See, he doesn't care if he ambushes you and kills you. You said, that's not a fair fight. He's not coming to put on a fair fight. He's coming to bring you down any way that he possibly can. But I want you to know that if you will just put on the whole armor of God, nothing he does is going to work. Nothing he tries is going to work. Nothing that he plans is going to take place, because the Bible says the armor of God is the antihistamine to everything the devil is trying to do. So let him come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord, because of the armor, is going to put up a fight against him. Are you ready to fight your battle today? Don't fight it in the flesh. Don't try to fight this battle in the flesh, because you can't win it in the flesh. And so the devil is going to fight. He's going to attack you. He's going to roar. But the Bible says that when he has done everything he possibly can, he says, look at verse 13. He said, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And look at this phrase, and having done all to stand. So it means that after he has thrown everything at you, after he has come, you know, in like a flood, the Bible says, because you have the armor of God, you're going to remain standing. You know, listen, in a fight, one of the worst things that can happen is when you go down. You know, you don't want to go down in a fight. You want to stay on your two feet, because once you go down, someone is going to stomp you. Someone is going to kick you. And you are at a vulnerable place. But the Bible says that if you put on the whole armor of God, Satan won't even be able to bring you down. You're going to remain standing. You tried everything, but it did not work. You gave me your best, but it did not work. I'm still standing. And you know what that other phrase means? And having done all to stand? It means that after you fought that battle with the enemy, he threw everything at you, even the kitchen sink, and you are still standing. You're going to be standing until the next battle comes, and you'll be standing again, waiting for the enemy to come. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on, how many saints have that here today? You don't have to be afraid of the enemy, but you have to put on the whole armor of God. You see, regardless of who you are, you can stand. Regardless of who you are, you can overcome. regardless of who you are, you can defeat the devil. So that's why it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter how little, how much education you have. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. If the Lord is on your side and you have the whole armor of God, the enemy can come any way he wants to, but he will not defeat you. You will never go under. You will never go down. You'll always be a victor. And the Bible says not only are you an overcomer, but you're more than a conqueror. I want you to know that the devil cannot defeat you. He cannot win the battle. It doesn't matter what the circumstances is. Listen, if tomorrow the economy plunged another 50, 70 points, it doesn't matter, because God does not supply our needs based upon this economy. He supplies our needs based upon his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There is another center. There's another resource from which God blesses us. Come on and give him some praise. So you don't have to worry about the economy. You don't have to worry about certain things because God has promised to provide. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's look at that again. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, sometimes we think this is just religion. No, it's just not religion. God says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look at the person next to you and say, you see the God that is in you? He is greater than the devil outside of you. Come on and give God some praise. And so, you know what? Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid of anything. I don't care if the doctors have given you a bad report. What do you think they're supposed to do? Because they don't really want to do it, but there's a demon behind them that has to make them do it to get you into fear. Because one thing about fear is the thing that you fear is the thing that usually overtakes you. You don't have to fear the thing. You got to fear fear itself. Now, I want you to go to this last scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, I'm thinking about this, I heard a story the other day about Satan. Satan was standing in front of a church, and the pastor pulled into the parking lot, and he saw Satan crying uncontrollably, you know, and he just weeping. And so as he got close to Satan, he said, Satan, why are you weeping like this? Why are you crying like this? He said, because those people in this blame me for everything. And you know what? And you should blame him for everything, because he has no good thing to do for you. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift comes from God. You know, when something wrong happens, don't be saying, oh my God, it's not God who did it. It's the devil. See, the Bible says every good thing comes from God. Every perfect gift is from God. But you know, if you have a wreck or you have a car accident or whatever it might be, you blame the devil. Know that he's the one and the cause of it. He doesn't want you to have any good thing. And therefore, all your praise should go to God. The Bible says, in everything, give him thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Stop complaining all the time. Stop saying how bad things are. That's the reason things get worse, because you got to start saying, all things is going to work out together for my good. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Quote the word of God. Stop quoting depression. Stop quoting the problem. Stop talking about how it shouldn't be. Talk about how it's supposed to be. I want you to know that you can do all things, Philippians 4:13, through Christ who strengthens you. You're not a slouch. God has made you greater than the situation ahead in front of you. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, look at it here at Ephesians chapter 6. It says, above all, let's read it together. It says what? Above all, a faith wherewith you shall be able to quench what? All the fiery darts of the enemy. By the way, I'll be talking about the armor, but this is one piece of the armor. It says, taking the shield of faith. But what I want to focus in on is the word above all. Say above all. Turn to your neighbor, says above all. Okay, the Roman soldiers, when they went into battle, their enemies would not only shoot fiery darts directly at them, but they would shoot the fiery darts up in the air so that if they couldn't get them, you know, straight on, they would get them over the top. And so the reason why this word is being used here is not because it's saying more importantly is the shield of faith, but it's saying covering all, so that what would happen is that when the Roman soldiers went to battle, the first row would have the shields in front of them like this, so that the fiery darts would not be able to hit them. And so, and they stood next to one another like this, so that the shields would literally cover all, any space that was in between. And so they would stand there. When the enemy would shoot against them, the darts could not hit them because of the fact that they had the shield of faith in front of them. But the enemy was smart and said, you know what? I can't get them head on, but I'm going to get them above. And so what they did is they did above all, they put a shield over their heads so that the enemy, not only could the enemy not attack them head on, but he could not attack them above either. I'm trying to tell you that above all means, here when Paul was talking to Timothy, and I'm going to read this to you, he said, what are we to do when the enemy is coming with fiery darts? He says, what we need to do is run to them and follow after faith and righteousness, charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What is he saying? Whenever the enemy is coming at you, take cover under the shield of faith with your brothers and sisters. Don't try to fight the battle by yourself because you will not be able to do it. You need to run to the prayer meeting. You need to run to the Bible study where the people of God is. That's what the scripture says. If my people who are called by my name together shall humble themselves together and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their lands. What do you need God to heal today? I'm trying to tell you some of those sicknesses are going nowhere until you get under the shield of faith with your brothers and sisters and call upon the name of the Lord. With one you can chase 1,000, but with two you can chase 10,000. And when you put all these people together, the demons have to run. Are you hearing me? You can chase the enemy out when you come together with the people of God. Somebody need to give God some praise. Somebody got the revelation this morning. Somebody understands what the problem is. Glory to God. Thank you. The body of Christ will provide a shield, a covering for you. That's why when Jesus says about the church, anyone who you see isolated, sad to say, they become like branches. The Bible says they fall off and eventually they die, they dry out because they're not connected to the vine. Jesus says, I will build. See, he didn't say, I'm going to build John and I'm going to build Susan and I'm going to build. He says, I'm going to build my church. And the church is the ecclesia. The word ecclesia that means body. It never means individual. And that's why the mysticism of the enemy has so many believers lost. They keep thinking they can do this on their own. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 7, says many shall say in that day, have I not done this? Have I not done that? And God is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. The one thing I could tell you, when I first got saved, when I was real, real young, the one thing that I remember happening in me, I just couldn't wait to get to church. Church became something that I started to love. Something that I didn't love that I was forced to go to. All of a sudden, when I found the Lord for myself, I couldn't wait to get to the house of the Lord. I couldn't wait to sing the songs of Zion. I couldn't wait to lift my hands. I couldn't wait to speak in tongues. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. The old things are passed away. The problem is there are people who think they're saved, but you know what? Nothing has passed away. Everything is exactly the same. I want you to know that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will set you free from the past. I don't care how bad your past is. There is no power in hell that can stop the power of the resurrection power from taking you out of your situation. And there are people sitting in this room who had some bad, had a bad past. But you know what? They can testify that had it not been for the Lord on my side, somebody tell me where would I be? Let's bow our heads for a moment.